The GCH Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Dr. Bill Evans with your Doppler weather radar forecast. WGCH brings you up-to-the-minute weather 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We actually see some sunny breaks this afternoon. We'll have a high of 73, which will feel great. We've got a cloudy sky tonight and maybe an evening shower, the low is 60. Tomorrow we start with some drizzle, maybe a shower. We'll have cloudy skies, breaks of sun tomorrow. It's a little cooler, the high is 66, the low 56. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Evans for 1490 WGCH.
Greenwich, you need sports talk. I mean, WGCH really needs sports talk. Rob Adams, that's me, and Paul Silverfarb bring you a doubleheader Monday through Friday from 3 to 4 in conjunction with the Greenwich Sentinel. We're your source for high schools, pro sports, and all sports. Got a story? Want to talk? We've got the outlet for your sports needs. So join Paul and me for our doubleheader weekdays from 3 to 4 right here on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
The opinions expressed in our talk shows are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or ownership of WGCH Radio. And now, the Greenwich Sentinel Radio Hour on 1490 WGCH.
And Bob Small, I thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone. It is 6 minutes past 2 o'clock on this beautiful Monday, what has become a beautiful Monday. I'm Rob Adams, but I am not the host of this show. This is Be Well with Beth, all part of our daily 2 o'clock programming from the Greenwich Sentinel during the Greenwich Sentinel Radio Hour. You'll hear me more at 3 for Greenwich Sentinel doubleheader when I get back to talking sports, but I'm here to hang out for an hour with my friend Beth O'Malley, who is going to take you through this program, and she is going to bring you a lot of good information, including a great guest today, and she's got so much to tell you about, so I'm not going to introduce her. I'm going to let Beth introduce herself to you. Without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, here is the host of your program, Beth O'Malley. Beth, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much, Rob.
See, you've already done it. I could play an applause sound and you're off and running.
Thanks.
Who are you, Beth?
All right. I'm going to tell you a little bit about my practice. I'm a psychotherapist in private practice in Old Greenwich, and I'm also a single mom living here in Greenwich in the King Merritt neighborhood. I've been in practice as a family therapist over 25 years. In addition to being a certified mediator, I specialize in family conflicts and areas of health and wellness. I'm also an avid volunteer in town. I'm a business owner. I've owned a few restaurants and also a dating and life coach. I'm not a stranger to WGCH, having been Connecticut's former premier matchmaker, and I was on the air about 10 years ago.
And see, you're going to be on the air every Monday now, so this is a piece of cake.
Exactly. I'm so excited to host my own show, Be Well with Beth, and I know my children are listening. I have an 8th grader at Western and a 12th grader at the high school, and I'm in a relationship currently with the local Greenwich, Old Greenwich Fire Lieutenant, Michael.
All right. How do you feel? You got everything out. You've told us who you are. Feel better now?
I do.
Okay. See, we're off and running. All is much better here. What about your work? Tell me the background of your job.
Okay. So depending on who you speak to in Greenwich, you'll hear that I have different specialties. And I think that I've been in the field for so long at this point that there were times when I specialized only with working with adults. And then about 10 years ago, I really wanted to bring the work and specialties of working with children to Greenwich because there's such a need. When you're working with parents, you can't help but work with the children as well. And I've even had situations with families where they come in with grandma or grandpa, and they're the primary caretakers for the child. So that's been was so important to me to add that as a specialty, not just to start working with kids. I went back to kind of doing front lines work out at St. Rayfield's, which is part of Yale Children's Hospital. Mm-hmm. And I was out there for about 3 years. I worked on the inpatient locked unit at St. Ray's. It was an incredible experience working with little ones. They were starting at age 4 right up till 18. And
really?
This is for mental health, substance abuse, but primarily mental health issues. Issues of abuse, neglect, mood stability, schizophrenia, you name it, we got to see it there.
And it takes a special kind of person to work with children. You know, you really have to appreciate children. And it's a shame not everybody does, but you have to know how to handle them.
Right. And I believe also a lot of therapists that go to school originally to specialize with child work, when they start to get into it, you find out that 50% of your work is really with the parents.
Yeah.
And that's you need to be able to do both. You need to include the whole system. So part of what I do in town is also head up the Positively More program, which is through the Junior League of Greenwich. Mm-hmm. And that's reaching out to sixth graders, 11 and 12-year-old girls, and it's addressing areas of self-esteem.
Really?
Yeah, it's a wonderful program. It's free, and mm-hmm. we'll be hopefully doing a show on both Positively Me and Positively More, which are programs that are free to children in our community.
And those are very important times in the life of a young girl. Is that fair to say?
They are. They're transition periods.
Yeah.
The sixth grade is one of the toughest periods for social interaction with kids in terms of just starting. Girls are really starting to hit puberty at
that
age.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
Whereas boys, we're going to see it closer to eighth or ninth grade.
Yeah.
So it's really a time of transition.
Yeah, transition's a really good word for that, because that's exactly what's going on there. And there are a lot of things kicking in a young person's brain at that point.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
In fact, I haven't shared with you, but on October 17th, I'm bringing in Iris Gold, who is a mental health professional, psychotherapist, and her specialty is life transitions.
Really?
And I think it's going to be an incredible interview.
Great.
So just a little bit more about my specialties. I also started out in the field in substance abuse, and I worked at the Karen Foundation, also known as Chit Chat. I was out there for several years, where I met and fell in love with one of the counselors who opened up the adolescent rehab program, and we subsequently got married and were together for 18 years.
Okay.
And I bring that clinical expertise in substance abuse, alcoholism, but my passion and what I wrote my thesis on in graduate school was working with families of folks who are addicted. So that might be addicted to a substance, mm-hmm. or to a process addiction, or to an eating addiction. So when I say process addiction, it could be overuse of internet. It could be gaming. It might be a sexual addiction,
yeah.
in fact. So there's a five-day program that I worked at called Breakthrough. And I worked under Ann Smith. I was blessed to be able to train with her. And she's one of our top leaders in the field of codependency and the effect of addiction on families.
And as you're pointing out, addiction is very widespread. It's not as simple as just, I want a drink or I want this. There's a lot to it.
There's a lot. And it's really looking at compulsive behaviors and how they affect the family and the individual.
Interesting.
I'll also be addressing issues of marriage and relationships. I said in a joking manner earlier that I was a matchmaker in Connecticut, but in fact I was for 3 years, and I did quite a bit of dating coaching.
Really?
So what I did is, when I had folks come in who were newly divorced or widowed, they would come into my practice, and then I was able to I was working for another company at the time, but able to use my therapeutic skills in terms of helping them get to the point where they were ready for dating and then move into the dating world, and then advising as we go.
My gosh, where were you when I needed you? Because it is, for me, I was married 12 years. Yeah, about 12 years. And, you know, it was a person I had been with since I was 19. You know, I was a baby. And she was only 17, 18, and,
wow.
you know, we went on, got married in our mid-20s and all, had our child, and,
yep.
you know, hopefully she's not listening, so she's not cringing. But, you know, that when the marriage split up, it was kind of like, okay, when do I step back out into the world? And it was, at first I felt like I wanted to just have a female friend, you know, I just wanted to
yes.
know what a friendship was like again, so
yes.
I could feel like I'm a human. And I remember initially feeling like I was, you know, like hot lava, just people were just, you know, staying away initially. So it's interesting that you bring all that up, because it is those first steps back out are kind of like,
right.
oh my gosh, there's a big world out here again. It's kind of scary.
And it doesn't just rock your relationship world, but your whole social foundation.
Yeah.
So I've worked with a ton of women and men in Greenwich going through separation, going through divorce. And what ends up happening is oftentimes the friends need to choose one side or the other because they're such high conflict situations.
Yeah.
And then navigating that and having a support system or recreating your own friend circle.
Yeah.
Post-divorce. So we'll be addressing all of those issues. I plan to do a whole segment at some point on dating, dating online dating, dating post-40, dating post-50. And also one of my areas of interest is kids in their 20s dating, because it's very different. The roles of male and female are changing.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll have some interesting speakers.
Things
on
have
that.
Evolved yeah. in a lot of ways, and yep. it's an interesting time.
It's a whole different
it really
world.
Is. What else about your work and your background? Because I also want to know some of your training and, you know, still get to know you a little more before we take our first break. Plus, I want you to make sure you at least do what we call a tease in the business, to tease who your guest is, because
okay.
we want to talk with her as well.
All right, good. One of my claims to fame is that I was the youngest student accepted into the Masters of Social Work program at Hunter College School of Social Work in 1989. I came right out of SUNY Albany, where I had received my bachelor's mm-hmm. in both psychology and sociology, double major with a minor in business. And that probably just wasn't enough work for me, so I also worked full-time.
Why this? What made you want to get into this?
So my first internship was at the Rape Crisis Center for Albany, and I had the experience of my first phone call. We were trained to be on the hotline. My first phone call was in the middle of the night, somewhere around 2 a.m., and it was a call from a family where their young child, a female age 4, was in the emergency room that had just been discovered that she was being sexually abused by a cousin, and he was older, over 20. So I was called to the emergency room, and I went in thinking that all of my work would be with the 4-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, the 4-year-old had already been through quite a bit of trauma, and she was almost accustomed to living at that level of trauma. So being in the ER was not that hard for her to have to go through an exam. The people that I ended up having to coach were the physicians and nurses attending to the child.
Oh, wow.
I was also there for the family, of course, and provided support to the little girl, but she just wanted mommy and daddy.
Yeah, yeah.
And going through that process and seeing the resident on call come out and not be able to do his job, and coaching him to the point where he felt strong enough to go back in, do what he had to do, and then come out and go into a private room and just, you know, be out of control, sobbing with me, I realized that I could impact people and make a change in the world and help.
But you also mentioned having to work full time, and I know that meant, you know, maybe stepping into a totally different world.
Right.
How about that?
Yeah. It was, so I went, I got a job full time, and I would work from, I want to say Friday after classes through Sunday night. It was a 48-hour shift, I mm-hmm. guess is how, but it ended up being at a homeless shelter.
Oh, okay.
But it was a very unique shelter under, this was in New York under Cuomo,
mm-hmm.
and the program was set up to aid families. It was extremely innovative. It was the Marillac shelter up in Albany, and families were given their own apartments and services and support and education and someone along with that family to help bring them back to a place where they were stable in the community, to the point where we got folks educated. They could stay for 6 to 12 months, have the parents employed, take them on their first apartment shopping, give them the down payment, make sure that the family was ready to go, and that they could live independently and raise their children independently. And, of course, along the way, addressing any mental health or medical conditions mm-hmm. or concerns. So I worked full-time during that time because I just loved being there.
Yeah.
I loved being able to help.
Interesting. All right. A lot of good stuff here. Let's address a few more things before we take our first break. But I haven't lost her yet. She's still here. You're still in the room. So that's a good start. Moving on to kind of an approach of what your therapy is. You know, every therapist has an approach. What about you?
That's true. I think that a lot of my training really came out of the family systems training that I received at Hunter. And the Ackerman Institute is one of the leaders in the field for family therapy. And they just happened to be located about two blocks away from the school at that point in time, up on the Upper East Side of 79th Street. And Ackerman sent educators into our master's program to teach us about systems, a family systems approach. So in other words, when I'm working even with just one individual, I'm bringing in the whole family system into the room in theory, and really working off of what we call a genogram, which is pretty much like a fancy psychological tree, family tree, putting together who are you? Who did you choose to be with in life? What partner did you connect with? Mm-hmm. Why? What do they? How do they maybe pull something out of your childhood? How are you and your partner a gift to each other in terms of growth as you move forward in life and have children? So looking at the partnership, even when a couple comes in distress, looking at the partnership as a gift, and really, so it's a family systems approach. I use some Imago, Harville Hendrix. I just will have everybody read Harville Hendrix. I think he's just incredible.
Okay.
And then a lot of the training came out of my work at Chit Chat in terms of being authentic. For example, if a client is experiencing pain in a session, I allow myself to go there with the client. My clients know that my eyes will well with tears. I will be present with them.
Yeah.
And part of healing is not so much on the technique that's used, but the connection of patient to doctor.
Yeah, yeah. There's a realism to it.
Right.
You know, you're very, like you said, you're in the moment.
Right.
With that person.
And when you connect, you actually can experience what they're feeling and then
sure.
go from there and ask the right questions.
Yeah.
So, in terms of my substance abuse training, I've worked at four major hospitals around the country. I was in Arizona for a while at St. Luke's. I've been in Pennsylvania at Karen Foundation, St. Ray's. And then just, I guess about 7-8 years ago, I was recruited by Stanford Hospital to come in and to do medical social work, which was actually quite new for me, but happened to be a place where I really, really wanted to learn.
As we got ready for the show, you know, to be comfortable, Beth gave me some notes, and I'm reading ahead, and I'm just loving some of the comments. That's all. It's up to you if you want to share them, but I'm just reading here.
All right. So the reason, honestly, that I love being at Stanford Hospital, and I was drawn to ICU and NICU. Those are my absolute favorite places to be, and my coworkers at the hospital would chuckle when they got a NICU case or an ICU family that needed crisis intervention, because that's typically known as the hardest part of medical social work. I loved going over and being with those families. I liked being able to use my clinical skill to help them with the medical crisis at hand. But for me, sitting behind the nurse's station when there was a code, that was like watching TV, but in real life.
Yeah.
So it was better than Grey's Anatomy for me.
And there it is.
Yeah.
As we get ready, and we are going to take a break, but I'm curious about what's the show going to be about? What can you tell folks?
Okay. So my background is primarily mental health, but with that medical component. What I would like to do, and I think that the show will evolve, and that the,
oh, without a doubt.
Yeah. I want to bring in different kinds of speakers that speak to guests that I can interview that will be able to speak to issues of mental health, substance abuse, families, marriage, but then branching it also into medical concerns. There are so many medical concerns where we can go online and read an article about breast cancer, but sometimes we miss the very basic stuff. And I would like to have speakers come in just to give us a view of different medical situations, of different diagnoses of what to look for, but in plain English, not in medical speak, because for those of us who don't have the medical training, that's harder to understand. So I want to make it real. My mom was a nurse, and she always explained that the nurses were incredible at explaining to the patient what was really going
on. That's important.
Yeah.
That's really important. And that speaks, Beth, to that whole being real and being in the moment that we were talking about just a moment ago.
Right, right. I mean, one of the first ideas I had was, why don't I bring in my foot doctor and talk to him about what the heck is going on in my foot and what, you know. So, and then the other aspects of being healthy in our town are, and of course, you know, I have a connection to the fire department, but I really want to bring in issues faced by our police department, issues of fire safety, issues of town workers. There are situations where, you know, there might be a fire and the fireman has some residual trauma from that experience.
Absolutely.
And I've already spoken to some guests that are willing to come in and talk about what it was like to go back after a break to being on a call.
And, you know, you think about just what happened in New York City last week or a week or two ago and how terrible that was and how it impacts, you know, it's a brotherhood, as has been said so many times. So
right.
Whether, you know, and I know police are the same way. I have a cousin who is a police officer up in Poughkeepsie, New York. When something happens to a New York cop or somewhere else in the country, he feels it.
Right.
And we've talked about it many times. He has attended, you know, sadly, way too many funerals. So it's it really resonates.
It really does. Yep. And I am friendly with Jim Heavey and his wife, Kia. And they Jim is willing to come in and talk to us about some issues of health and wellness in the town. One of my favorite places in this town, those people who know me quite well know that after I drop off the kids for school, I head over to my absolute favorite place in town, which I'm sure will surprise you, the town dump. And at the town dump, I sort out my donations, my recycling, talk to people, and my trash, of course. But I'm sure there's issues there of health and wellness that we could explore in terms of our environment.
I think so. See, him with a big smile. I'm gonna see, she's just done 22 minutes, give or take, of a show. Now she gets to breathe for a moment. But it's a brief break. Who's your guest today?
It is Kathy Steiner from Greenwich High School,
okay.
A wellness instructor.
And with that said, we'll all take a break. We'll be right back with more of Be Well with Beth. She's going to do this herself in the future. I don't even need to take it to the break in the future, but we'll get her there. We're back right after this, all from the Greenwich Sentinel, right here on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
From the WGCH Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Dr. Bill Evans with your Doppler weather radar forecast. WGCH brings you up-to-the-minute weather 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
We actually see some sunny breaks this afternoon. We'll have a high of 73, which will feel great. We've got a cloudy sky tonight and maybe an evening shower. The low is 60. Tomorrow we start with some drizzle, maybe a shower. We'll have cloudy skies, breaks of sun tomorrow. It's a little cooler. The high is 66, the low 56. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Evans for 1490 WGZH.
Hi, I'm Jen Graziano. Tune in Wednesday mornings 9:30 a.m. for Time to Talk. We will encourage conversations regarding sensitive topics that we all need to prepare for. We will cover issues that span from legal planning to emotional and spiritual guidance and so much more. Join me for this important program Wednesday mornings, 9:30 a.m. on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
The name of the show is not Be Well with Rob, thus I don't need to be talking as much. It's Be Well with Beth, and Beth O'Malley is right here. Beth, back to you.
Thank you, Rob. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the format for the show and what my plans are for the coming Mondays. We will be addressing issues that are both medical and mental health related, but I'd also like to bring in issues of nutrition, of exercise and being an athlete, financial concerns, financial health and wellness, even spiritual concerns. And I really believe that the show will, over time, evolve, and we'll have callers call in and give me ideas of topics you want to hear about, and I will find a speaker.
And that's a good idea as well. And once you're comfortable, give out ways that folks can contact you with even ideas off the air, because I know me, I'm sitting and listening to the radio. Might take me an hour, 2 hours a day before I go, oh, I got an idea. Beth should do this. How do I get in touch with her? So keep that in mind as well.
Okay, terrific. We'll definitely do that. What I'd like to do is start my first interview with Miss Kathy Steiner. She is a wellness education teacher at Greenwich High School. She's been within the Greenwich Public School System for a total of 27 years mm-hmm. now, and 17 years at Greenwich High School. She's also a fitness instructor in town at the New York Sports Club, and even lives in Greenwich as well. Her husband and two adult children, both of whom graduated from high school, are right here locally. Welcome, Kathy.
Hi, Beth. I'm thrilled to be your first guest on your first show, so thank you very much for the invite.
Absolutely. I thought it was so fitting to start with you, Kathy, because the way that you teach the wellness program over at the high school is very similar to how I would mm-hmm. like to address adults, parents, and grandparents in our town, workers, mm-hmm. people who are at work listening on the radio. And mm-hmm. you address all aspects of health and wellness at the high school. And that is something that we don't get. We don't get to take Wellness 101. And certainly when mm-hmm. I was back in high school, there was no such thing.
Right.
So, I mean, I think we had 15-minute safe sex, and that was that.
Right, if we were lucky.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about your position, mm-hmm. a little bit about what the wellness program is at the high school, mm-hmm. and then we'll talk a little bit about this week.
Okay. Thank you very much. Well, as you said, it's my 17th year at Greenwich High School, which is a wonderful school. I'm so grateful to be working there, and I love what I teach. I'm passionate about wellness education. As we know, everything is connected. So when you look at various aspects of our life and those connections that we make between our physical, mental, emotional, and social well-being, it gives an overview of our total health and how we relate not only and take care of ourselves, but then with each other, with our family, with our colleagues and coworkers, with our friends. So we're very fortunate to have a planned, ongoing, and systematic wellness education curriculum, kindergarten through 12th grade. So there are different objectives and different topics that our students get at each grade level. But at the high school, each student does take wellness education for one quarter of wellness, 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade. It's a very quick quarter course. It only consists of 16 classes each grade level, but we do have different topics for each grade level and different objectives.
Oh, I didn't realize it was a quarter every mm-hmm. year. So is that required
it
of
is.
Every student?
It is. It is. We're fortunate a graduation requirement. And I'd much prefer, even though it is a whirlwind of students every quarter, I would much prefer to see our students each quarter for each grade level, 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th, than maybe a semester, just one grade level. Because our students, our children, change so much each grade level.
Yes, developmentally, there mm-hmm. would be very different topics that you would address.
Correct.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, as you're talking about it, I always felt that the safe sex talk should start at home. Mm-hmm. And every year, I would add a little bit more information. Mm-hmm. So it started with a kiss and went, you know, from there.
Yeah.
And the other day, I said to one of my children, we finished. We concluded, right? You know the end of the story. And he said, oh, God, not again.
No matter what topic I think we're talking about, I think early and often is most important. You know, when we talk about sex education, it's sexuality education. We are human beings. So it's the way that we love and hold our infants when they're born and how
yes.
we talk with them. And then as that grows through, you know, toddler and the various parts of anatomy and using correct terminology. I mean, all that is part of sexuality education, and it's just part of being human and respecting our body and then the decisions we make.
Ah. So I work with a lot of the teens at the high school in my mm-hmm. practice, and one of the issues that I always address is what are your wants and what are your needs in a relationship? And when we talk about wants, we always look at what's the icing on the cake? That's the want. But what are the needs? What are the underlying foundations of a healthy relationship? And the number one that we discuss is touch, human touch, being held as an infant, the skin-to-skin contact.
That's right.
And now, today, they're saying the skin-to-skin contact really needs to be not just with mom, but also with the father.
Oh, I agree with that. I think fathers play such an important role in their children's lives, and especially in their daughter's life, most definitely.
Right, exactly. So both parents in a relationship will care for and nurture a child and set a role model or an example of a foundation of a relationship for that child.
Right, and I think, too, if there is, you know, a parent who is absent, I do believe that, you know, one adult can make a difference in a person's life. So whomever that role model may be, if a parent may be absent for whatever the reason, you know, having that adult in that person's life can make a big difference.
Absolutely. Earlier, I mentioned that I've worked with a few families in town that where the grandparents were raising the children. I've also been blessed to work with families where there were same-sex parents in town as well.
Correct.
And it's just incredible how much nurturing and care goes into raising our kids. So it's nice to know that the public system supports us in that. And I've worked with many private schools locally as well, and they have nice programs in place, too.
Yeah. And I do believe our children know. You know, I always live by the phrase, our children don't care how much we know, but they know how much we care. So I think that that's, it's powerful. You know, a kind word goes a long way.
Yes, yes, I agree. Well, let's talk a little bit about how we first met.
That's right. Oh, it's all good. We did meet about, 10 months ago, I believe, even though I do have your daughter in my wellness class last year as a junior and this year as a senior, and she's wonderful. But we did meet, I think in January maybe, with my one of the clubs that I co-advise with Amy Bedini at Greenwich High School. It's the Outreach Club. It's a SAD chapter, Students Against Destructive Decisions. And I received an email probably the end of December, maybe beginning of January, from SAMHSA, which is Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, on organizing a town hall event, Communities Talk. And I thought, how wonderful, because Greenwich High School Outreach SAD Club, our motto is to keep yourself safe and to party sober. And that was right up what we wanted to do was involve community to talk about how actually do you keep yourself safe. And I believe that, you know, it takes a village to raise a child. It takes school, students, home, community. So to that end, in getting the email from SAMHSA, we organized with the help of Greenwich High School Outreach Club and the school administration, the PTA, and a variety of community organizations, which you were a big part of that, to put together our first community event this past April, which was Stress, Success, and Teenage Setbacks.
Right,
what
exactly.
to expect the teen years. And we were so fortunate to be able to host it over at our Arch Street Teen Center. So Kyle Silver and his staff were amazing.
Yeah, incredible.
Incredible. And a lot of community organizations donated food and a lot of services to make this event very successful with the help of our keynote speaker, Scooter Braun, who is a 2000 Greenwich High School graduate. And he came and he talked about what it means to be a teenager in Greenwich and how to be a leader. And sometimes in being a leader, it's not always the easiest thing to do, but
the right
thing to do in making decisions.
And it was incredible to hear Scooter talk really from his heart about his experience in being a producer in the music industry. I had worked at the Musicians Union's Employee Assistance Program in downtown Manhattan and really had the opportunity to see how much substance abuse and partying is going on. And there were musicians who would come in who their focus is the music, and they'd have to really set up strong boundaries to stay away from some of the craziness that goes on.
Well, I think Scooter definitely has, you know, his notoriety through Justin Bieber as his manager and Ariana Grande. So the kids, the community know him well.
Right. Yeah.
And when he spoke from his heart and from his experience on, you know, he doesn't do drugs and he's got goals in his life. And not to enable those that might be using, but to be that rock and that source of support.
Of support, right.
Is so important. And I think, you know, with the 300 people, parents and teenagers that were there, I think he really made an incredible, you know, difference in how maybe we view the music world and view being that positive role model in a person's life.
Right. Right. And I know being raised locally, Scooter's parents are extremely involved, both in their children's lives and in our community.
Yes.
And, you know, bring a presence about them with quite a bit of joy and just fun, loving attitude, but living life in a healthy way, which is
exactly.
Really neat.
And they were there to support him, which was nice.
It was sweet.
It was a great night.
And the United Way was also involved. There's a junior branch of the United Way?
Yep, the United Way very much was involved. As I said, it was the school and the home and the PTA as well as community organizations. The United Way was a big advocate and support and resource to make stress success and teenage setbacks happen and be successful in April. And part of them as well is the Junior United Way. So they have a group of high school students, both public and private students, who are a big part of what they do to help teenagers be advocates in creating change within our community.
Yeah, I think that was my favorite part of the night was when the three the girls got up and spoke about, they spoke from their heart about the town meeting and stress and life in Greenwich. And it's just wonderful to have our teens get up and talk to the parents. The audience was a combination of both teens and parents. And as you mentioned, we had 300 people. So there is going to be a part two that's currently in the works, not yet formalized. But can you speak a little bit to what you might be addressing and how that will impact our community?
I can. We're very excited to have a part two sometime this coming November, probably in about 4 weeks. Details yet to be confirmed, but it will happen again at Arch Street Teen Center either Thursday, November 3rd or Thursday, November 10th. So look for our flyer once we get everything confirmed, and we will have emails and flyers and PR happening within the community. But the title is going to be Stress, Success, and Teenage Setbacks, Let's Talk. I think what's most important is to talk about mental health and mental illness. Once we talk about mental illness and we get it out there, then it doesn't seem so scary. And we can decrease the stigma that is associated with mental illness and talk about it just as if we're talking about cancer or heart disease or diabetes or an athletic injury. And the more we feel comfortable talking about it, the more likely we are to support and to ask for help when help is needed. And that's really going to be the focus of our event in November.
Well, that brings up one of the topics that I want to address at some point in time, which is when mental health becomes more discussed more openly, then we'll also be able to discuss more openly treatment for mental health. And so many times, you know, I've said to parents, your child is suffering severe depression, and at this point in time, we've tried all of the holistic approaches. That's always my first approach. But there may be a situation where a child does need to look at medication management. And there are some families who are aware of those choices and are fine with them, but there are other families who right away say, oh, God, no. Not my child. I can't consider an SSRI for my child. And I have to ask them to really look at it as illness. And if you brought a child in and they had cancer, would you say, no, I can't have treatment for that if we know what the most effective treatment might be and we've looked and tried other options and they're not working.
Right, right. You're exactly right. You know, with a mental illness, it revolves around the brain and one of our most important and complex organ in our body. And so it is a brain disease, and we do need to talk about it as we're talking about other organs in the body. Correct.
About time we take a break, ladies. It's been going very well, so we'll take a break. We'll let them regroup, and we'll come back with more of Be Well with Beth. This is all part of a nice collaboration between, of course, the great Greenwich Sentinel newspaper and the folks right here at 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
From the WGCH Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Dr. Bill Evans with your Doppler weather radar forecast. WGCH brings you up-to-the-minute weather 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
We actually see some sunny breaks this afternoon. We'll have a high of 73, which will feel great. We've got a cloudy sky tonight and maybe an evening shower. The low is 60. Tomorrow, we start with some drizzle, maybe a shower. We'll have cloudy skies, breaks of sun tomorrow. It's a little cooler. The high is 66, the low 56. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Evans for 1490 WGCH.
This is Margaret Walsh of Greenwich Library. The Greenwich Library is proud to announce the launch of their newly redesigned website. Over 2 years in the making, this new gateway provides visitors with a virtual experience that is as compelling as a visit to the library itself. Since the last redesign 6 years ago, the library has added a number of services and resources. As a result, many felt the website became difficult to use. An improved user experience and easier navigation were the primary concerns of this redesign. This new online experience showcases the library's diverse range of collections, services, and events with an attractive and uncluttered design. The library will host demo sessions of the new website this month. Please visit greenwichlibrary.org for the schedule and, of course, to explore our fabulous new website. I'm Margaret Walsh of Greenwich Library on 1490 WGCH.
See, at this point, I'm just the narrator. I'm just the voice. Welcome back to Be Well with Beth. See,
hey.
There you go.
Thank you, Rob.
I'm out of the way.
All right. So we are here with Kathy Snyder from Greenwich High School. She is a wellness education teacher and also a fitness instructor at the New York Sports Club. What I wanted to do is talk a little bit about one of the topics that's so close to my heart, which is mental health. This week happens to be the National Mental Health Week, also known as the Mental Illness Awareness Week. And it spans from
October 2nd, yep.
Through October 8th.
That's correct.
Can you speak a little bit to what the week means and how it concludes?
Yes. Well, being Mental Illness Awareness Week, and it's actually something that was sponsored by our National Alliance on Mental Illness, or NAMI. And so what we're really trying to do is to talk about mental illness so that we can decrease stigma and we can make sure that through awareness and through education, we can bring it to the forefront so that children, teenagers, adults know that this is something that they can talk about. They can support each other. They can ask for help. There's resources out there, treatment, because just like any other illness, mental illness is something that we need to talk about, and we need to get help when help is needed.
Absolutely. Just in terms of awareness and education, mm-hmm. simple things like what's the difference between an anxiety attack and a panic attack?
Right.
Those are some of the issues that I'm hopeful to address on the show. I think that oftentimes we throw around terms like, oh, my, you know, a cousin is bipolar. Well, are they really bipolar?
Right.
Bipolar is a fairly significant diagnosis, and oftentimes they're just struggling with depression or even just moodiness, as opposed to, so I really want to get word out on what is mm-hmm. OCD? What does it look like? What is an actual panic attack, and mm-hmm. how does that differ from from an anxiety attack.
Right. And when you look at mental illness, it's such a broad umbrella. So the topics underneath that, as you said, can be anything from unipolar to bipolar to obsessive compulsive disorder, eating disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder,
right.
anxiety. And I do think it's important to understand that, you know, life has ups and downs. And so what is that diagnosis? What does that mean? But we all have stress in our life, distress, which is negative stress, mm-hmm. versus eustress, positive stress. So how do we deal and cope with the stressors in our life to make the situation better? I've told my students, my juniors in particular, when we talk about stress and stressors and stress management, said if anybody offers you, you know, a quick fix or a book or a program that says we're going to get rid of stress, you know, and don't buy into it, because there's no way you're getting rid of stress. But how do you deal and cope?
Right.
And I'm all about the word resiliency. You know, as many times as we have disappointment in our lives and we might fall down, well, how do you get back up? How do you deal and cope to keep going? And I think that those are the skills that are really most important.
You're reminding me of a stress management workshop that I used to give. I was in employee assistance programs down on Wall Street in the mm-hmm. early 90s. And I would go into the trading floors of some of the larger firms. And it was mm-hmm. just incredible to see the level of stress that the traders right. are under. And then I would have to do workshops with them. I've done workshops with union reps for the Teamsters. And they were all around how to manage stress. And here I was teaching, and I was stressed having to teach
right.
the job.
Right.
But what I would talk about is the negative stress and the positive stress. And the best example that I recall from that workshop is saying, if you were offered a job and you're working at that job, and after a year, your boss comes to you and says, I'd like to promote you. You're going to be at the next level up, but unfortunately, we're having financial distress within the company, and I'm not able to compensate you for that, but you'll have new responsibilities, more things that you need to do here at the company, mm-hmm. Higher position title. How would you respond? And the answer from half of the folks is, I would be aggravated, irritated, annoyed. They're not paying me. This is ridiculous. You know, I'm complaining. The other right. half of the folks would say, oh, my goodness, what an incredible opportunity.
That's right.
I can prove who I am. I can get a higher title. This is going to take me where I need to go in the future. I can't believe this opportunity. And it's okay that they're not going to pay me just yet, because I'm surviving and I'm okay and I'm going to get there.
Right. So then if you looked at the mental health between each of those two perspectives, right, we would hope that those with a positive, optimistic perspective on that situation, it was grateful for the opportunity and then to move forward, and their mental health was a little bit better than those who looked at that situation as a negative, and that was the worst thing that could
right.
ever happen
right.
in their life. So I'm all about eustress and having a positive outlook
right.
on the situation.
Yep, it's the glass half full.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's right.
So one of the big things that we see every time I look at the newsstands today or turn on the TV, it's always mindfulness. On the radio, mindfulness here, mindfulness there. Right. Can you speak a little bit to what does that mean?
Right. Oh, gosh, that's the buzzword, isn't
it? Yes, it is.
I hope it's not a buzzword that's overplayed, because it truly, that one small word has a lot of impact and can have many benefits in a person's life if mindfulness truly is a part of what they do and how they see things. Mindfulness is just as it suggests, being mindful and living in the present. You know, we cannot change yesterday, and we don't have control over tomorrow. So by living in today, just in the present, really helps to calm the body, calm the mind, and help us truly to enjoy each activity, event, interaction that we might have. So when we're truly mindful, just as we're talking right now, we're looking at each other and we're in the conversation. We're not thinking about yesterday and we're not thinking about after the show is over. It's just about right now. And this interaction that we have is much more meaningful. So when we can be mindful in the simplest little things or on a grander scale, it really helps to bring not only to our core a little bit more of a relaxation, but also to our mind and more peace. And it helps us to be able to work through stressors that we, you know, come into contact with each and every day.
So you're really speaking about being present for others in your life, but also being present for yourself.
Most definitely. You know, just something very simple is when we eat dinner or any meal, think about eating, not watching TV or, you know, rushing off, you know, picking something up, eating it in the car, but really tasting. There's an activity that we do in mindfulness where it's eating a raisin. And I guess it could be eating a chocolate kiss as well. Mm-hmm. But it's really eating a raisin, and you look at the raisin and you smell the raisin and, you know, you feel the raisin, and then you slowly put the raisin in your mouth and you don't bite it yet, but you kind of roll it around in your mouth and, you know, get the sensation of the sweetness, and then you start to eat it. And it can take 5 minutes to eat that raisin out.
Wow.
When was the last time you actually took 5 minutes to eat anything, let alone a small raisin? And so again, it's being mindful, it's being present of what's actually happening in the moment, which really helps to slow us down. Mm-hmm. It helps to enjoy life a little bit more, and to really deal with our stress.
So my having a protein shake as my only meal on the way to work is not necessarily mindful.
Well, unless you're really, I guess, enjoying all the different nutrients that may be in that protein shake. And if you made it, then that's even better, right? Because you know what you put into it to fuel your body and to fuel your mind.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But I just want to say our Greenwich Public School District is really doing a lot more with mindfulness. And there are different activities that kids are taught. And I think it's about an 8-lesson curriculum. And it really is about the mindful breath, you know, and it's about being grateful. And once we can just sit and focus in on our breath and really send out positive energy, it brings a sense of unity, not only within self, but within the classroom and then within the community. So we're very fortunate that our Greenwich Public Schools is doing a lot more in teaching elementary, middle, and high school kids the importance of being mindful. And we do have a social and emotional learning curriculum. So we do have 5 pillars. And those 5 pillars are, the first one actually is to be here, you know, be present.
Okay.
I can be here in class, but unless I'm truly present, am I truly learning?
Right.
So be here. The second pillar is to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
The third pillar is to be honest. The fourth pillar is to care for self and others. And the fifth pillar is to let go and move on.
Oh,
and how important is let go and move on?
Yes.
Right?
Oh, wonderful.
So we're very fortunate to have social and emotional learning in our Greenwich Public School system.
Oh, that's wonderful. And my daughter just mentioned to me that yoga is offered. And I know that yoga and breathing fits into the mindfulness and wellness as well.
That's right. One of our physical education elective offerings at Greenwich High School is yoga, and it's quite a popular course, as you can imagine.
I'm sure. I think I'd much rather do yoga than have to run the track.
Well, there's benefits to both.
All right, good.
In fact, the boys' varsity soccer team asked me to do a yoga class for them last Thursday, and I think I may be doing one again this week. So it's really about core stability, you know, lengthening and strengthening through strength, and then being mindful and present as you're stretching, and of course to avoid injury and to improve performance.
Wonderful. And that's the body-mind connection. That's just so crucial to our development and our growth and being happy and healthy.
That's right. But I'll even add body, mind, and soul. Yes, you got to get that spirit in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
I think you got to bring her back for another show.
I know.
This I would love to.
Went very well.
Thank you so much.
Very well. Any final thoughts? We've got about a minute left.
Well, what I thought I would do is just mention that there are a few other shows that I have already planned, and I have been in touch with a psychologist for one of the private schools in town who is very much looking forward to coming in and talking, Rebecca Camizio. And I've also been in touch with the high school social work department, and of course in my practice I work very closely with them. So we'll be having some social workers come in and talk to the mental well-being of our kids.
Well done. See you next week.
All right. Thank you.
Great job by Beth, of course, and thanks to Kathy for coming in. I'm just guiding this ship here. That's all. I'll see you in a couple of minutes for Greenwich Sentinel Doubleheader. We'll talk some sports, including the new inductees to the Greenwich High School Sports Hall of Fame. But for Beth and Kathy, I'm Rob Adams. News coming up right now, and then sports talk on Greenwich Sentinel Doubleheader right after this on 1490 WGCH.
The station you grew up with, 1490 WGCH Greenwich.
Say Radio News.